I remember the first time I had an anxiety attack vividly. It was my senior year of high school. It was late at night, and I just had so many things running through my mind. I was thinking about college, the future, what am I supposed to do? I had girl problems. I had all these different things weighing on my heart. And as I was laying there, I was trying to figure out all these problems. Like, God, what am I supposed to do with all of this? And then I suddenly just felt my heart starting to beat really fast. And I was like, well, this is new. What do I do about this? I was like, okay, deep breaths. Okay, that's not helping. Okay, what do I need to do? Maybe I need a glass of water. Okay, let me go get a glass of water. So I went and got a glass of water. I don't know why I thought a glass of water would fix an anxiety attack. Anyway, I went and got a glass of water. That didn't help. Okay, maybe a glass of milk. If water didn't work, why would milk work? I don't know. And I just kept going. I was like, okay, maybe I just need to go to the bathroom. I was grasping at straws, guys. Maybe I need to go to the bathroom. And I was like, oh no, maybe I'm having heart palpitations. When my brother was in high school, he had heart palpitations. He had to go all the way to the hospital. Oh no, am I having a heart attack? What's happening to me? Oh no. I was freaking out. Nothing like this had ever happened to me before. And I didn't know what to do. What was happening to me? I felt like I was outside my own body just watching this happen to myself. I thought maybe it's demon oppression. Like, is a demon attacking me right now? I felt like God was 1,000 miles away. I was trying to pray the whole time. And I was like, God, can you please make this stop? Can you please make this stop? And it just kept going. See, for many of you, you may not have anxiety attacks. You may not deal with heart palpitations. But you may have anxieties. You may have things that you worry about, things that take up your mind. See, for me, it's always thinking about the future and, okay, how do I plan out every single step I'm supposed to take? And when something goes wrong, I freak out. I'm like, okay, how am I gonna fix this? It's freaking out about, okay, like, how do I make sure this goes well? How do I make sure I do this well? What is it for you? What's your anxiety? What makes you worry? What takes up real estate in your mind? See, for me, back senior year of high school, I was having these anxiety attacks and I didn't know what to do. I'd never had anxiety before. Well, I had, but I didn't know it. But anyway, I didn't know what to do. So I did what any good kid in the youth group does. I went to a youth group leader, someone that I trusted, I thought would know what was best for me. And I went to them and I said, hey, I've really been struggling with anxiety. What do I need to do? And they told me three things. They said, suck it up, pray about it, and get over it. That was all they said. They said, suck it up, pray about it, get over it. And they quoted this verse to me. It was 1 Peter 5:7, and they said, cast all your anxieties on him. There's your answer. Just give it to God. If you're still anxious, you didn't give it to God. And that was crushing for me. I had been praying the entire time, and it hadn't worked. What was I supposed to do now? I thought I gave it to God, but I guess I wasn't giving it to him good enough. What was I supposed to do? So what we're going to do tonight as we start this series talking about anxiety and what we need to do with our anxiety, how we deal with our own anxieties, is we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, the chapter that my youth leader quoted to me incorrectly, and we're going to talk about what it means. So let's read in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So as we get started, just let me pray for us that God would speak to all of us and help us as we talk about this. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we just ask that tonight as we dig into your word, as we study what you tell us to do with our anxieties, Lord. We just ask that you would guide us, that you would help us in your spirit, help us to understand and to be encouraged by your word. God, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right, so here's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to answer three questions from this chapter. Number one, what is anxiety? Number two, what is our response? And number three, how does this help? So let's start with number one. What is anxiety? See, this word anxiety is the only time this Greek word is used in the New Testament. See, this word comes from the root word that means to divide or to split. And what it says is that we have a divided mind. So cast all your dividedness on him. See, the book of 1 Peter was written to a group of churches in Asia Minor. Think of like modern day Turkey, if you know where that is. But it was a group of churches who were under heavy persecution. They were being persecuted by the Roman government, which was basically ruling the entire known world at this point. And they were being persecuted for their faith. And so Peter, who wrote the letter, was writing to them to give them encouragement. He's saying, hey, all of your dividedness, all of your anxieties, you should cast on him. And so when we think about anxieties, they would have thought about suffering, persecution. But that's not the only anxiety he was talking about. He says, all your anxieties. So this anxieties here is anything that would be considered a care of the world or anything that takes up real estate in your mind. I like to think about it with a story from my parents. So when I was in high school, I went with my family to New York City. I went with my parents, and they're great people, but they're not always aware of their surroundings. So we were in New York City, which is like the city that never sleeps. There's people bustling all over the place, and we went to Central Station. We were going to take the train up to a different part of New York City. So we went in Central Station, and my parents were walking down. They were walking down the stairs, and they went, oh, which one do we need to take? So they got out their giant paper map, and they were just standing in the middle of the stairway in Central Station with their map out, like, which one are we supposed to take? So we're trying to get up here, and then so we need to take this one here. And they're right in the way. There's all these people trying to get around them. And me and my brother are grabbing at them, trying to pull them, like, put the map away. We can get out of the way. What are you doing? See, they were blocking the flow of traffic. There's all these people trying to get by them. And that's what it's like when we have anxiety. When we have anxiety, it's something is getting in the way of our minds. Something is splitting our minds, dividing our minds, taking up real estate in our minds. It's getting in the way of our minds flowing like they should. And so in reality, what we need to know is that we all have anxieties. We all have things that take up real estate in our mind, things that split our mind, divide our mind, and things that we worry about, things that we have to deal with. And so then that brings us to number two, what is our response? What are we supposed to do with anxiety? Well, I see three things in these verses that tell us what we're supposed to do with anxiety. Number one, it says to humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. What does that mean? How is that going to help me with anxiety? Well, I like to think about this from the opposite perspective. What's the opposite of being humble? It's having pride, right? If we're prideful with our anxieties, then we think we can solve all of our problems. We think we know what we're supposed to do. We think we can figure it all out. If we just try hard enough, if we just do enough things, we can figure it all out. So what that leads to is what's called hyperactivity. Hyperactivity is when you're just bouncing around, trying to get everything done, I can't move. hyperactivity is moving, which I can't do anymore, and trying to get everything done on your own. You're trying to fix all of your own anxieties, get rid of everything in your mind so that you don't have to worry about those things anymore. But what do these verses tell us to do? They tell us to humble ourselves. They say, you can't fix all of your own problems. Congrats. Be encouraged. It says, you can't solve your own problems. You need to be humble. Humble before who? Humble before God. See, what we need to recognize is that only God can solve all our problems. Only God has control over every anxiety in our lives. And so, number one, we need to humble ourselves. Number two, we need to be sober-minded. So what does this mean to be sober-minded? Well, this word here, sober-minded, think about the opposite. What's the opposite of sober? It's to be drunk. Elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about drunkenness as a response to anxiety. See, why do people turn to drunkenness or alcohol whenever they feel anxiety? It's because they don't want to feel anxiety anymore. They just want to numb the pain, numb the worry, numb the anxiety, so they don't have to think about it anymore. And isn't that what we all do? Maybe it's not with alcohol, but it could be with social media, where you have a problem that you just can't fix. You have something that's taking up real estate in your mind, and I just don't want to think anymore. I'm just going to scroll on TikTok. I'm just going to watch a YouTube video. I'm just going to Snapchat a bunch of people and talk about nothing because we don't want to think. See, what it means to be sober-minded is to think clearly. It says to be watchful, to be aware of your surroundings so you see everything around you clearly. See, Peter was telling them to be sober-minded because he wanted them to see their problems clearly. He wanted them to see clearly that they didn't have control of their problems and that God did. So number one, humble yourselves. Number two, be sober-minded. And number three, we get to the verse that my youth leader quoted to me. It says, casting all your anxieties on him. So what does this mean to cast your anxieties on him? Well, it means you gotta pass the monkey. So let me explain. So I had a teacher in high school whose name was Mrs. May. She was the sweetest old lady. She was the grandma you want, where like she would fight for you, but she was also just so nice all the time. She would get things done, but she was the sweetest lady you ever met. And so Mrs. May had the thing that she called passing the monkey. So she would have students coming to her all the time, trying to get her to do things for them, write letters of recommendation, try and do certain things. Like, oh, can you help me with my homework? Can you help me understand this concept? And so what she would do is she would take the monkey off of her back, and she would put it on theirs. So what she would say is, she would say, okay, if you want me to write a letter of recommendation for you, can you please send me an email about it to remind me so I don't have to remember on my own? She would say, okay, I can help you with your homework, but you have to show up to my classroom first at lunch. So she would take things that were out of her control that she didn't have responsibility for, and she would give them to the student. So what casting your anxieties mean is to take the monkey off of your back, to take that worry, that burden you're bearing, and to give it to God. This word cast here is the same word used when on Palm Sunday, the people laid down palm branches in their robes before Jesus as he came into Jerusalem. So this casting your anxieties on him means that you're taking it off of your back, that burden that you're bearing, and you're laying it before Jesus. You're saying, it's not mine, it's yours. So what is our response? It's to humble ourselves, to be sober-minded, and to cast all your anxieties on him. So then that brings us to our third question. We talked about what is anxiety. We talked about what is our response to anxiety. The number three, how does this help? See, because when I read this passage, what I expect next after I read casting all your anxieties on him is I expect to read, and God will fix them. Ta-da, magic trick, they're gone. What I expect to read is, and God loves you enough to take them all away. God loves you enough to fix all your problems. I mean, he's in control, right? Why wouldn't he? But no, that's not what he says. What does it say next? It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Be encouraged. How is that encouraging to us? Why does he say that? See, in reality, God doesn't promise to take away all of our anxieties. When we give them to him, he doesn't take all of them away. He doesn't solve all of them. Some of them are still going to weigh on us. That was my experience with anxiety. See, in spite of my youth leader, I tried giving those to God over and over and over again. And some of them just kept coming back. I still worry about the future. I still worry if I'm doing all the right things. I still worry about what people think about me. I still have all of these anxieties. And so, what's our encouragement here? Well, for that answer, if you turn to Matthew chapter 11, Jesus gives us our answer. He says in Matthew 11, humble yourselves. That's not correct. Let me read it. So in Matthew 11, it says, in verse 28, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what does Jesus say? Hey, if you're carrying a heavy burden, come to me and take my burden upon you. He's not saying he's going to take it away. He's saying, I'm going to be with you in your burden. I'm going to be with you in your anxiety. See, what he's telling us isn't that he's going to take it away, but he's telling us that God gives us rest. We don't have to bear the weight on our own. We're not responsible for every single problem. Every problem we run across, we don't have to worry about what everybody thinks about me, what every girl thinks about you, what every boy thinks about you, every problem, what's the future going to look like? What am I going to do for the rest of my life? What kind of job am I going to have? What am I going to go to college for? You don't have to solve all those problems right now because God gives you rest. He promises to give you rest in the middle of your anxieties when we give them to him. So why is this good news? Why is it good that we can give them to God? And it's because he loves us. See, in Romans 5:8, it says that God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, it says that God showed his love for us on the cross in Christ. See, it's because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross for your sins that you can know that he loves you. And you can know that we can trust him with our anxieties. Elsewhere in Romans, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe, who created everything, is in control of everything, promises that he loves you and that he will give you rest, that he will bear the burden of your anxiety. So what's the main point? It's that God promises to bear the burden of our anxiety because of his love for us. It's because of his love that he showed for us on the cross that we can trust him with our anxieties, with our burden. So what does that look like for you tonight? For me, this week, as I was studying this and as I was writing this, God showed me that I don't really give him my anxieties anymore. I don't. God showed me that I tend to just hunker down and try and fix everything on my own. And God convicted me of that, saying, you're going to teach them about casting their anxieties and you don't? Yeah. See, I'm teaching myself tonight just as much as I'm teaching you. So what does it look like for you? Maybe if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, it looks like giving your life to him for the first time. Giving him the burden of taking care of yourself, of figuring everything out, of having control of your life. You're just going to give that to him tonight. Maybe if you're a believer, maybe you struggle with anxiety. Maybe when you're on your own at night, you just try and figure out every problem on your own. Or maybe you just get on social media so you don't have to feel it anymore. What's your response? Are you going to humble yourself? Or are you going to try and figure everything out? Are you going to be clear-minded? Are you going to recognize that only God's in control? Or are you just going to numb the pain? See, the invitation of God tonight is that you can give your burden over to him because he loves you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you promise that you will love us and that you will bear our burden for us, Lord. God, you are great and glorious and you created everything and yet you've worry and you take the burden of every small problem that we bring to you, Lord. God, help me believe that. Help these students here to believe that. God, if there's someone here who hasn't given their life to you, I just pray that you would give them the courage and the faith to trust you with their life for the first time tonight. And God, if there's a student here who has accepted you but struggles with anxiety or has a burden that they struggle to give over to you, Lord, I just pray that by your Spirit, you would empower them to give that over to you tonight and to accept the rest that you give us, Lord. God, it's in your name that we pray. Amen.